All right, so hi guys, welcome back to Let's Be Honest. This is your girl Ropani here. I do deeply want to thank you guys for every time for joining me and for being on this journey with me. I'm very grateful for you guys. So today I do have another great content for you guys. Today I wanted to talk about like our pregnancy journeys, and I kind of wanted to go over like how it is like to be pregnant in America for Black women. So I do have one of my great friends here. Her name is Dani. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Danielle. Am I supposed to say my last name?
No, you're good.
No, they need my government. But hi, I'm right. My name is Danielle, but you can call me Danny. I'm a mother of one. My daughter is 6 years old. And you know, I live in America doing American things.
that's so awesome. Yeah, so where are you from? Like, where do you and your daughter stay?
I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I grew up in surrounding suburban areas. So hood, no. Hood on the forefront, no, but like my hood inside sometimes, a little ghetto, a little ratchet, absolutely. Right now, even like we live in a suburb of the Twin Cities area, but my daughter, she was actually born in Fargo, North Dakota, because I was up there for school when
awesome. I love Fargo.
Woo, go Fargo, go Bison, go Red Hawks.
Right, coldest place on earth.
Dude. Let me tell you.
Hey Danny, awesome. So I kind of just wanted to go ahead and get started, get right into it, and take your time. You know, there's no timer on it. You can speak however long you want. You can keep it short. This is totally up to you. You have the spotlight.
Okay.
Awesome. So do you want to go ahead and start with like how your pregnancy journey was, like when you first found out, like who was there, like how was it for you?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, the pregnancy was not planned. I was 20 years old with my, you know, boyfriend at the time, with my kids to be father at the time. And I remember going to Planned Parenthood, and that they were the ones who actually told me that I was pregnant. And he was at the gym during my appointment. So I met him at the gym and just like, hey, look at this piece of paper. You know, we're pregnant. And he was just really quiet and not like disappointed or sad or upset or anything, but we knew that we were, you know, pretty early in our relationship. And so we actually considered abortion right away because we, again, because we were so early in our relationship. Don't ask me how we eventually came to not choose that route. Very grateful that we didn't, obviously. You know, but yeah, I guess I can't even remember how we decided against that. But anywho, but yeah, got pregnant with my little one, and it was a very interesting pregnancy. It wasn't ideal. I always imagine being pregnant and happy and surrounded by, you know, I was surrounded by friends because I was pregnant in college. I was 20. I had my child when I was 21 years old. So my friends were very supportive, but all of my family was back in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I at least still wanted like my mom to be there, but, you know, but that just, it just didn't end up working out that way. So I think one of the things that my mom and my grandma says, is, you know, how you carry them is how they'll be. And I believe that to an extent, you know, my daughter, I was pretty content during my pregnancy. I wasn't like the most happy pregnant person. I wasn't like super depressed and stressed either. And so she came out a pretty great kid. No complications during my pregnancy. That was an absolute blessing.
It's beautiful.
yep. You know, no complications during pregnancy. That was a blessing. And you know,
that's really good.
Some interesting things happen during pregnancy, though. So, like, my OBGYN, I will, what was his name? Can I say his name?
Of course.
I don't put him on Front Street like that. What was it? It was such an interesting name. I can't believe I still remember it. It was Jebediah Perkowitz.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, I would remember that too.
Yeah, he was some OBGYN. He didn't even deliver my baby, but we're past that, right? But, you know, I remember at one point during my pregnancy, he literally said to me, he told me that I was gaining weight at an aggressive rate, and I give him points because he got a little bit of bars, but aside from that, I was just like, I'm a pregnant woman. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So that was kind of interesting anyway. Mm-hmm. But I also, it was interesting. People would be like, oh, you could probably eat up a house, huh? I'm like, actually, there's a little life force inside of my body sucking everything out of it that I need. She's in the way of my lungs, my stomach, like everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, I don't know. I think that's a huge misconception sometimes. And maybe every pregnant woman is different. But for me personally, the amount of food I could eat, mm-hmm. it definitely decreased because, you know, she's in the way. So I felt fuller faster. I don't know how, unless you eat in like preservatives and like genetically modified food. I don't know how any pregnant woman can really, like, you know, gorge herself. So that was really offensive sometimes when people said those kinds of things. To any mothers that would be listening, if you are currently pregnant or looking to get pregnant, towards like the mid to end, midway towards the end of your pregnancy, get a prenatal massage. It feels really good.
Prenatal massage.
My friends, they had gifted it to me because I actually turned 21 while I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So they gifted me a prenatal massage, and it was really great. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
So I came to have my child. I had her July of 2014. And I thought that things were going pretty swell, and, you know, long story short, her father ended up leaving, 3 months after she was born?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, immediately hopping into another relationship, and, you know, now today he has two additional children with her, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. Okay, cool story. I was initially so mad because I'm just like, can I cuss?
Girl, go ahead.
Okay.
Do you, girl.
Initially, I was like, fuck you. You mother, like, you got me out here being a motherfucking statistic. And, you know, it's already enough that I'm an African-American woman. I had a baby out of wedlock, you know, and now I'm also a single Black mother with a child, like, why you do that to me?
Yeah.
You know? So I was frustrated with that for a while, but, you know, that's just something I feel, unfortunately, is going to continue to happen for a long time to come. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a single parent household. So, I knew I definitely had it in me to raise my daughter by myself if I needed to, you know?
Yeah, you're doing mm-hmm. a good job. She's blessed.
Yes, she truly is. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But that's pretty much the journey up till pregnancy and mm-hmm. birth.
Yeah, that's awesome. Have you, like, do you know or have any friends that are, like, from different cultures that have gone through pregnancies that you've noticed that their pregnancy is different from, like, an American, like, pregnancy? Do they have, like, traditions or rituals that...
No, I have a Liberian girlfriend, mm-hmm. and nothing was too different. I mean, just obviously differences in us as, you know, pregnant women, But yeah. Cause let me tell you, girlfriend had pregnancy brain. My friend was stupid when she was pregnant.
That shit is real.
No, and because, you know, she's Liberian, I love my African brothers and sisters. Went to her baby shower. Girl, why was it like hours?
Yeah, that's long. How they usually are.
But it was so beautiful, and she was so beautiful, you know. It was definitely experienced. But no, I didn't experience anything differently, you know, based on any culture or background of a friend who also got pregnant. If anything, I think we wanted to, you know, deliver our babies in a certain way, but because we were in Fargo, North Dakota, some of our options were limited, you know?
I get that.
I wanted to have a water birth, or at least have the option to consider, I don't know, I probably could have found a doula or a midwife in Fargo. I don't think that would have been challenging, but
I feel like that should be kind of like an option too, that should be given to like mothers. Not just, you know, everything has to be done at a hospital and has to be like
And I'm not sure, you know, how true it is, but I've actually heard that how we have children in America, at least maybe, how we are encouraged to like go to the hospital and lay on our backs. Like, how does that help the baby come out?
Yeah.
You know, you're totally going against gravity. So I say it that's, jokingly.
That's so awesome. I actually have that part of the point to talk about.
Perfect.
So we're gonna get there.
Okay. But yeah, so I kind of joke about it, but I'm like, my next kid, I'm gonna just like hit my sumo squat.
Exactly.
Catch him.
Let he or she just slide on out.
Just slide on out. If I don't have them standing up, it's gonna be in a tub of water, or you know, a pool of water or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, like, what do you think about like baby showers? Did you have one? How was it like for you? And like, do you think they're necessary to like? Because, like, I feel like years ago, like, maybe 1,500 years ago, they weren't there and they weren't needed.
Right.
Like, so now we're making it such a huge deal out of it. Like, what do you think about baby showers?
1,500 years ago. It kind of makes me want to research the history of baby showers now. Like, where did this come from?
It just popped out of nowhere.
Right? Oh, my goodness. On a quick side note, because it just came to my mind, quick little side note, but it's in relation. So I can't remember what country, and I'll have to research and find it and let you know. But there is, like, I think a European country where moms, no matter how many children you have, they get, like a care package, like diapers and bottles and, like, everything that the baby needs. And then, like, the box, it also doubles as like a crib for the baby.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is per baby. And I'm like,
oh,
they must really care about women in that country.
Yeah. Oh my
God. But yeah, well, I gotta figure out which one it was.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Yeah,
I wish that happened in America.
Right.
Bro, you'd be lucky to take home the water bottle from your delivery room.
Right. Like, hey, where are you going with that?
Yeah, seriously, like, we recycle, reuse around here. Oh my gosh. But how do I feel about baby showers? I definitely feel like to each their own. I like the fact that I had a baby shower. It was really beautiful. It's also like a celebration that you get to have for the baby before their first birthday, because you don't really, once the baby, you know, is here in the world, newborn, you're not gonna have a party like, hey, I got my newborn, having everybody around, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the baby shower is also a way to kind of celebrate you know, this little life force that's about to come into the world. But I think that it's also, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that, I think it's just a great way to come up too. Like,
yeah. I mean, all of that free stuff too, like,
yep,
you need it.
Yep. Create your little baby registry or whatever. And I got stuff in my baby shower I didn't even think of. Like, one of my friends got me like little hangers for, you know, little clothes. And now my daughter's six. Her clothes are getting bigger than the hanger. So she's going to have to get, like, you know, adult hangers soon. But, like, stuff like that. I swear I got, like, three freaking, what's it called? Wow, it's been that long, Aria. Diaper bags. Like, three diaper bags. And I use them all.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I will. You say what?
She had to go.
I'm telling you. I would say my next child, though, diaper backpack is going to be the movement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
Right. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just a celebration. I don't think it's absolutely necessary, but I think that it's just a great way to get everybody together and just, you know, have the people who have supported you in your pregnancy from the start just kind of, you know, help out. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it takes a whole village. And even the people who were there for her shower before she was actually even in this world, you know, they're still in her life today. She called them, you know, auntie and uncle. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, you know, so really, really good friends, man. You just got to establish a good tribe.
People. Mm-hmm. That tribe will be there with you till the finish line. So,
That's so awesome. I believe in baby showers. Mm-hmm. I think that gender reveals are cute, but I don't think that gender reveals are necessary.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, at what point? Well, I guess you would have the gender reveal before the baby shower.
Then what's? I don't get it.
Like, just put it all in one event, you know?
Yeah.
I don't.
Show that you're gonna, yeah.
Maybe it is. Maybe I gotta get like rich enough and bougie enough to, you know, to understand the ways. But
did you know there's a baby honeymoon now too?
Girl, leave me alone.
Baby.
Harry, what?
Yeah, I saw it online. Some guy took his baby mama to like vacation before their baby comes. It's called the baby moon.
So that is freaking cute. That's kind of cute though.
Yeah,
it's kind of cute. I ain't gonna lie. Like, my mom, she wasn't joking. I think she's dead ass serious to this day. She's just like, yeah, your daddy owed me a push gift. I'm like, mom, what is a push gift? And she's like, that's a gift for pushing your big head ass out. I'm like, okay, you right. And I didn't understand until I had my own baby. And I'm just like, yeah, motherfucker, I need my push gift. A dozen roses or something.
Something, man.
You know, give me a free massage or something, baby daddy. But yeah. But that's my outlook on gender reveals and baby showers.
Awesome. So the next thing is marriages. Marriages, do you think this should happen before you have kids, or they should happen because you're pregnant, or they should happen because the kids are involved? Like, is marriage really like a thing that ties, you know, kids and families together?
You know, I feel like it used to, but I feel like it's as easy as it is for me to like call my boyfriend right now and be like, I don't want to date you anymore. I feel like that's just about how easy it is to divorce someone, you know? And I don't know. Times just change, I guess. But, you know, it was talked about when I became pregnant, when I was, you know, still with my kid's dad, that, oh, we should get married. But I told him right away, I'm like, I don't want you to marry me just because I'm pregnant. Because divorce is a whole lot more expensive, you know, and I didn't want it to get too legal. You know, I'm brown skin out here. So I'm like, I don't want to deal with no courts. I don't want to deal with no police if I don't have to. So, you know, for me, my own personal situation, I didn't want to get married because I didn't want him to feel forced. And then I didn't want to be in this space where, you know, it was just unnatural. It was unauthentic, or, you know, forced, basically. So that was my personal choice. If it is cultural, then I understand cultural, like you get a girl pregnant, you marry her, you know, depending upon what background you're from. But I wouldn't, how I wanted it, how I envisioned, you know, having children and all that is being married before I had my any child, any of my children to come, whatever. But it just doesn't always happen that way. And I don't think that, I don't think we as mothers and fathers should feel bad about that. I don't think that, you know, outsiders looking in should judge about that.
Exactly.
You know, because at the end of the day, you know, I could have a child out of wedlock and, you know, and essentially have a bastard child, but she still ends up being more amazing, more smart than your child, you know, that was born, you know, with two parents married or whatever. So,
I mean, it's a good thing. It's nice to be married, but like, it's not something you should be forced into just because you had kids or something like that.
Right. I do. And I do value marriage. It's not to say that I don't value marriage, but, yeah, I just didn't want to do, I guess I didn't want to do anything, you know, too premature aside from obviously, you know, going forward and having my daughter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's
okay. Awesome. So what are your opinions on like doulas and midwives? I know you mentioned the thing at all in the beginning, but like, I can also give my opinion on it as well. So I'll let you go first.
For sure. Doulas and midwives. First of all, I want to say that those terms are synonymous. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think it would have been really cool to have if going forward, like when I have like my future children, if I can't have a doula or a midwife, I at least want like a female OBGYN. I think it's just important to have that kind of like femininity close to you when you are, you know, going through your nesting phase and, you know, just kind of just going through all these changes. It's just important to have that rock, so to speak. But yeah, I guess I never had any personal experience with a doula or a midwife, but it is something that I did want to do. I think that any woman who wants to have one of access to, you know, people in that profession when they're pregnant, do it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I mean, I have never had an experience with them either, but like I was born at home, so like my mom had me at home and she was surrounded by family and she was at a setting where she was very comfortable. So that's something that I've kind of admired. When I get pregnant, I kind of wanted to be like, I want to have a doula or a midwife. I want to be able to enjoy like my pregnancy journey, go through my pregnancy journey with somebody that I'm comfortable with. So like if I was to have like a midwife, I would want to like... someone I can stick with, someone I can get personal with. And then like when it's time to give birth, I don't want to be like rushed through the hospital just because, you know, I want to be able to like, you know, enjoy in my living room or my bedroom or in the bathroom with like music going and candles and aromatherapy.
Yes, talk about
Yes, I'm bringing a life into this world. I want it to be peaceful and like for them to come out and enjoy this life instead of like bright lights in the hospital room, people are yelling you at the operating table.
Babies come out. What's going on?
What is going on?
Oh my.
Yeah, so I feel like that has really changed from like, you know, 100 years ago, like when doulas and midwives were the only options and home births were like the only options. So I get it now, we're advancing and stuff, but we're also forgetting about like the health of the mother and like how the mother is more psychologically feeling about everything and for the child as well. So like the next thing I kind of wanted to go over is so I kind of found like fun facts about like pregnancy from like years ago that I kind of wanted to like share to see if like it's still the same or if a lot has changed. So like Did you know back then, like, women were expected to do all of, like, the heavy lifting? And, like, they weren't necessarily, like, babied back in the days because, like, they think that, the women that are doing, like, all of the heavy lifting and, like, the cooking and the working and the doing it, it's going to help you, you know, deliver easier. So, like, that's what...
Whose idea was that? Some
of
man?
Of course, man. that it's going to, you know, help you with, the, like, the labor and delivery, so it'll be a lot smoother for you. So I was like...
That is, like, the most ignorant shit ever.
That's what I'm saying.
No. Mm-hmm. No. That's, like, right up there with the invention of bras and stilettos. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly.
No. Just no. Just no.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard... I was 2 days years old when I found that mm-hmm. out. No.
Yeah, because I remember even when I was pregnant years ago, like, my ex's mom, like, didn't want me doing anything. Like...
Nope.
I would go for a walk. Like, you can't do that. So, like, don't strain your body doing a lot of that stuff. Like,
would you say it's cultural? Like, you say that, like, they believe that, like, who is they? Are we talking about, are we on the continent of Africa?
No.
Are we in Europe? No. Are we in America?
We're in, like, we're in Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that explains.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then they also said that moms are supposed to be mindful of their mind state so it doesn't, like, affect the child. So, like, if you're depressed or if you're sad or if you're, like... So, like, I mean...
That's kind of what I was talking about mm-hmm. earlier. Like, you know, my mom and my grandma, and they're just, like, super superstitious women to begin with. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if that counts as a superstition. But, yeah, you know, how you carry the baby... is essentially how baby will be. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are happy and bright and cared for during your pregnancy, the baby, you know, not to say that she or he is not going to cry.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've all encountered those whiny babies, mm-hmm. you know.
100%.
And you got like, yeah. And you just be like, damn, mama must have been depressed.
Right?
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And, like, have you seen, like, I don't know, in, like, those old movies, I don't know, I haven't seen them, like, in the modern world now, but, like, chloroform, mm-hmm. like, that cloth that they used to put on your nose until, like, you pass out.
Like, they was chloroforming pregnant women?
Yeah.
This conversation has gotten really dark, really fast.
Yeah, that's, I was like, wait, what?
How am I gonna, like, deliver my child if I'm, like, uncomfortable?
They said that they would hold it on your nose long enough until, like, you were able to deliver the baby.
So. Oh, so, like, kind of bring your senses down mm-hmm. and just, like, kind of get her, get you.
But still, like, you were gonna knock me out. Like,
dude, I mean, you'd have to, like, administer that very particularly, mm-hmm. I feel. But, I mean, it's like that and then, like, epidural, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and I actually did have an epidural and so I thought you're gonna ask me like things like, oh, you're gonna, like, when you're delivering, you're gonna shit on the table and, you know, you're gonna rip right open. Like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I heard when I was pregnant. I'm just like, oh my god, does
yeah
anybody have anything positive to say? You know.
Oh,
but
no. And then, like, the last fun fact that I wrote a lot more, but, like, this one kind of stood out, but, like, women were expected yep. to deliver more than 5 babies back then in case, like, you know, cause
when,
like,
at once?
No, not at once. But, like, well, like, you were supposed to have between 5 and 8 kids because, you know, back then, you know, there's no hospitals, medical care, and all these things just in case one kid dies, you have backup. So, like...
You said backup like it's a fucking battery.
What's that?
But I know what you mean. When you think back to those times, like, you know, people were still farming super mm-hmm. heavy, you know, and everything, and the life expectancy, you know, rate wasn't as high. So that makes sense to have backup children. I I get it. I've just never heard anybody say it quite like that. That's hilarious.
You know. All right, next topic.
That's so funny.
We're going to go ahead and start talking about Black mortality rates with childbirths in America. Mm-hmm. So, what I found out was Black women mortality rates in America is that Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely. I don't know if that number's right. I don't know if you know a different number, but that's the numbers I got to, you know, to die due to births than any other race. So, like, there were kind of different types of, like, things that tied into that. So, like, structural, like, racism. Do you know what that means? Or if you wanted to, like, put your input on it as well, on structural racism?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, before we even start talking about, like, Black women dying, you know, while giving birth, or, you know, their babies dying while trying to give birth, like, I think it's also important to talk about the intentional, like, sterilization mm-hmm. of Black women at one point, you know?
It's like, why are we doing that? I've heard that that was, like, kind of the original agenda of Planned Parenthood, of institutions mm-hmm. like that, to, yeah, you know, to, like, basically not care for the Black woman and try to, like, you know, curb our the population of Black people, essentially. I mean, that's exactly what you're doing when you start, you know, messing with Black and African American people, women, and all of that. But so there's, you know, so there's that, like, you know, Black people in general, like, our relationship to, like, medical professionals, it can be real iffy. You know, there's a history with that as well. So it's really hard.
Yeah.
it's really hard. I'm grateful that, you know, my experience wasn't crazy. All I was told was that I was gaining weight at an aggressive rate. But you know, like, also, like, when we express to our physicians and whatnot, like, you know, that we're in pain, or, you know, this has happened, like, for some reason, we're not believed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we're expressing our pain or our concerns with our health. Yeah. And like you said, all of that is basically, has been stewed mm-hmm. in racism, systematic racism. And, you know, now the Black mortality rate is an issue. Yeah. And, you know, Black mothers are 3 to 4 times more likely.
3 to 4 times more likely. And Black children are 3 times more likely to.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, this is just rooted from all types of systemic mm-hmm. racism. Like, you know, because you'll talk about, gosh, my thoughts are just, like, all over the place. It's like a really loaded, overwhelming question. But, like, you know, how, like, you know, our populations, like, of where Black people live, like, there's certain kinds of, like, population control, typically where there are larger numbers of Black people, you know, there's, like, food deserts, mm-hmm. like, where I live right here in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, you know, I have options to go, if I'm gonna eat out, I can go get, like, Panera Bread, mm-hmm. I can go get some Mediterranean food, I can, you know, got access to some grocery store salads, not just a bunch of Wingstops and Domino's and, you know, stuff like that. So, things like that, like, person's environment. So we'll just talk specifically, I guess, about a woman, a pregnant Black woman's environment factors in to, I think, the mortality rate, her predisposition to, you know, diabetes or whatever, you know, she has in her family bloodline, hypertension, all of those things, I think, definitely can factor in. I'm not sure if you can, like, you can lose your life to those things if you're, like, giving birth. I'm pretty sure, you know, so, yeah. But in all of that, mm-hmm. all of that, mm-hmm. all of it's stewed, all of it's created by systemic racism.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of wanted to add to that too, as well, because, like, while I was doing my research that some people pointed out that Black women are highly susceptible to like illnesses that can't be cured or illnesses that other races can't get. So I'm just like, what are some of these illnesses that are not being not being treated or being ignored and like that are causing Black women to die from them during childbirth? So like I'm still trying to understand what that is. And also
No, I was just gonna say I have no idea. That's
news. So like I don't know if this, you know, makes a difference as well, but I do think that it does. But like Black mothers should be cared for by Black doctors and because of what's going on, and like Black kids or Black newborns should be cared for by Black doctors. And there was a research that I found that was done in Florida, but this doctor that he did like a project up thing to see if like Black mothers or Black families being taken care of like Black doctors would, you know, make a difference. And it did make a huge difference that he, you know, of course. And so what I also wanted to go over is that in 2016, what I found out during 41% of like the pregnancy related deaths are 100,000 for Black women. And it's only 13 per 100,000 for white women.
And I feel like that a lot of that has to be intentional. Like all of that cannot be attributable to, you know, disease that runs in the family or like your environmental issues. You know, it can't just all be connected to those kinds of things. That that is ridiculous.
It's all a lot. And then like some of the things that they said contributed as well was the lack of health care that they're providing to like Black women or other races apart from white, as well as, you know, routine visits that it's not being given or isn't available to like African-American women and like low-income families as well that can afford better health. So like
I think that like ultimately kind of I guess not steering too far away from the topic, but as it pertains to, you know, Black women, Black people, just really need to adopt this willingness and openness to wanting to own your own things. I feel like ownership is freedom. Don't ever let nobody 100%. Tell you just because you were born in America that you're
exactly.
You know? And I feel like we can get ourselves out of a lot of the situations that we face if, you know, we just kind of develop that sense of ownership. And I know that that's hard. You know, not all of us are woke or whatever. And not all of us have access to, you know, the same opportunities like that. But, PSA.
Yeah.
Own things, you know, control what you can control. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it a lot where, you know, people are just like, especially like Black people that I know, family, you know, just living off the system.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't feel free that way. You know, I'll be honest. I was on SNAP assistance once and I felt some type of way.
I just kind of wanted to add to the last part you were talking about freedom. So like the freedom from slavery might have, you know, it did technically end.
No.
But like, it's been granted or whatever, but like it didn't, you know, it's not equal treatment for African Americans. I mean, they say we have freedom to equal health care, equal whatever, but it's not equal health care for us. So like,
because what you're saying about like, you know, Black doctors care for Black patients, like that's essentially segregation. And I'll put myself out there, like I'm not totally opposed to segregation if doing that means that, you know, we could all get on the same page as Black people and start caring for one another, how Asian communities care for one another, how Latino communities, you know, care for one another, how like should even white people care for one another. If we could like get on the same page about that, and if it took segregation to do that,
then I'm all here I'm all here for it.
Why not? Because that's a different topic, but yeah. Right?
I was telling a friend recently, I can't even remember what friend it was, but I was saying it jokingly, but I was dead ass serious. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I want my primary doctor to, I want their second language to be English. Honestly, because then that way I know they actually had to work their ass off to become a doctor. You know, they couldn't cut no corners, you know. Mm-hmm. They know their shit might be hard understanding them, but at least I won't feel like they have some bias against me or some kind of, you know, preconceptions. I haven't been believed as far as like what I'm experiencing medically, you know. Mm-hmm. even at Planned Parenthood, like, oh, that's normal, that's like, you can't tell me something that's, you know what I mean. So I don't know.
I mean, after I found out all that juice about Planned Parenthood, like, mm-hmm. not a fan anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there in like but they're a different topic as well.
True.
Yeah, so was there anything you wanted to add to, like, the Black topic of, like, the Black mother mortality before we move on to, like, breastfeeding and stuff?
No, just, again, very surprised that, I guess it's more surprising to just be met with the facts. I'm going to just say that what you found is factual. it's more just, like, off-putting to be met with the facts, to come face-to-face with it. But mm-hmm. for the most part, everything like that, like all the stats, you know, all the bad stuff, like our numbers are high, percentages are high amongst, you know, the Black community.
It is. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, Black mothers, our voices need to be heard and our concerns need to be addressed when mm-hmm. we're pregnant. Like, mm-hmm. we're telling you guys how we're feeling and you're telling us what we need. Like, you know.
How does that even work? You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, we just need to be heard and we need better healthcare and, mm-hmm. like, you know, all those things I mentioned above. Mm-hmm. Like, we just want, like,
as far as better healthcare, all of that, like, I just think it's a matter of trying our damnedest to establish our own, you know?
Yeah.
Because screaming at these people to be like, hey, consider me a human, please. It's like
how are you gonna ask your oppressor?
Yes, you can't. You know, that's just craziness.
Yeah.
So,
but like breastfeeding, mm-hmm. how was it for you?
So
did you get any help?
We gonna get real intimate, okay?
Yeah.
So, I was I'm a mother that wanted to breastfeed. Unfortunately, because of how biology decided to what's the word I'm looking for? Because of how biology decided to place my nipples, breastfeeding was kind of hard. I'm not sure if any of you have ever heard of, you know, inverted nipples, but you have a nipple, but it is inverted and you don't see a protruding nipple. And that being said, if there's nothing protruding, what is the baby going to latch onto, you know? So there were like little devices. Like, I remember this little plastic, it kind of looked like a nook, like a pacifier. But obviously without like the back end of it, and it just kind of went over the opening there, and then the baby could like suck on that. But even that was just too strenuous for my infant at the time. So I pumped. I used an electrical pumping machine to get my breast milk out. Mm-hmm. My child, she only got breast milk for like the first 5 months of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But something is better than nothing. That's liquid gold. Don't you let nobody tell you Similac and Enfamil is better for your baby. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was literally having this conversation with my grandmother, my child's great grandmother,
the other day, and I'm like, I mean, it's a miracle that I'm smart, because Similac baby, shit, I was a Similac baby. You know, my mom did not breastfeed us, but you know, that's just what I've heard, that you know, kids, they come out, you know, smarter or this or that when they're breastfed and everything.
Exactly. So you're absolutely correct with that. So breastfeeding is always a better nutrition for your child. So you know, the child receives the nutrients directly from you, and like it helps fight like antibodies to like help your son or daughter not get sick in the future, or like at least reduce their chances of getting sick in the future. And like the other fun fact I found, oh, I forgot about your cat.
Hey, is that a kitty? Say hi.
Hi.
Sebastian, my handsome boy.
And then like the fun fact about like the kids coming out smarter as well, I found that as well too. And then also like breast milk, you know, helps reduces illnesses for both you and the child later on in the life. So that's basically what I found out. Similac, I mean, other people choose to do that, like that's their choices or whatever, but like, you know, it's more convenient, it's fast, like you know, your husband or your partner can help you out with it while you sleep, like anybody can help breastfeed your kid, and you can do it anywhere you want. But like, you know, breastfeeding, there's pros and cons to that. I don't know why there's a con.
What is a con? Please share. I must know.
Like, I don't know, some women don't prefer it because, you know, it messes up with their body. They say it gets their boobs saggy or whatever. But
girl, don't nobody care about your damn titties. Lil Ray Ray deserves to have nothing but the best. And it starts with
with you. And like, also, like, I kind of wanted to put my input on this about how, like, people don't like breastfeeding in public. Like,
girl,
I don't understand why it's still an issue today. Like, it's 2021, and like, people are out here showing their boobs out on the internet for free. People walking around town topless for free.
For free. But
once I decide to breastfeed my child, all of a sudden,
wait. So that's loose. let me get clarity. So is the issue that, I think what I heard you say is that essentially, like, women don't feel comfortable breastfeeding in public? Or are you talking about the stigma around?
The stigma.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, you know, I didn't think that it was too bad anymore. And only because, you know, I live my own experience. But, you know, I, at least in the wake of it all, I've seen facilities that are more accommodating to that. Like, oh, this is a nursing room. Or, you know, they have like little stalls for, you know, so there are some accommodations, but you know, to get everybody on board, that's just, you know, that's
it's still a long time off.
But I think that breast milk in itself, like, yeah, that's liquid gold, and it's free.
It's so free.
A can of Enfamil or Similac gonna cost you shit, and that was what, 6 years ago, when I had to switch over to that for my baby until she could eat table food, and that shit was approaching $20 a can. I could only imagine how much it costs now.
Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am. I remember being at least like anywhere between $15 to $17.
Oh my god.
Yep.
And you got free food right there for your child to eat.
Girl, right? And that was the hard thing. You know, it's challenging, you know, trying to like work and go to school and, you know, pump. And yeah, that was really challenging for me to do all of that. And then especially once, like, you know, her dad had left, I'm just like, well, shit, you know?
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Yeah, and then also I feel like those packaged foods that they have for kids in stores, like, I'm not opposed to people that choose to, you know, do that, but like, I feel like kids should get like freshly natural cooked foods.
Absolutely.
And breastfed instead of just microwaving something from like the shelf.
When, let me tell you like how bougie my child is, and I'm not even sure if she should be called bougie for that, but you know, because people are always just like, you know, oh my god, my kid never eats vegetables. I'm just like, well, have you ever served them vegetables? Have you served them vegetables since they were young? Because if that's what you expose them to, you know, they'll most likely eat it. And you know, but I definitely did that. So I didn't get those little meals. I think, I ain't gonna lie, I think I did try a couple of them, but I'm not really big on like the processed foods and the, you know, all of that. But I did get her like the little Gerber, you know, oh, this is like, you know, pureed bananas or pureed apples.
Oh yeah,
like,
those. Yeah.
I got her stuff like that. And when she ate that down, I would, you know, because I would be buying like fresh fruit at the same time. So I would blend up like strawberries and spinach and kale and cucumbers or whatever. And then I would pour it back into those little cups.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yep, and put them in the freezer. And then that way it's like healthy, nutritious. And especially when they're teething, they can just kind of like, you know, it's a little soothing for the teething baby. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, you know, girl, it's all about what you expose your child to. You know, my we just had dinner and you know, we had a salad on the side, and my child, she didn't have any dressing. She can sit there and eat all of her kale, all of her spinach, all of her arugula, cucumbers, all of that, you know.
Oh girl, what is your secret?
exposure. You know,
oh my god, that's so awesome.
I agree with you. I wasn't a fan of that kind of stuff too, and I've always cooked our food as well. So like if she's ever babysat like by my mom or like, you know, my grandma or whatever, they, how I grew up, processed this canned chili, canned ravioli, you know, hamburger helper. My gosh, I have not heard those words in I don't know how long. Hamburger helper.
Oh my god, the hamburger helpers. Girl, I grew up on those too.
Girl, helping us get fat.
Get fat and sick.
And sick. That's it. But yeah, if you try to feed that, my child, she doesn't even like macaroni and cheese. She's okay. Like, now you've gone too far.
I was like, all right, this meeting's over.
Right? Abort. But she doesn't. Like, I think it's like a texture thing for her. Like, it depends on who makes it and how they make it. But yeah, certain things she's just like, I remember she was with her dad once and she was, I was gonna go get her for like the weekend or whatever. And I'm like, babe, what do you want for dinner? And she was like, shrimp and chicken salad. And I'm like, look girl, what? 6 years old. Shrimp and chicken salad. Like, who are
who
you?
Who does she think she is?
But I mean, I cook our meals. She's used to home cooked meals. She's, I ain't gonna say like she ain't never had fast food, but it's all about it's all about balance and exposing your children to different things.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, they're still growing. Their body needs to, like, you know, stay, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but like, you gotta, those processed foods, like,
don't do it. Because I swear, the last thing I'ma ever have, that the last thing Danielle Lene will ever have is an obese child. I refuse. I refuse. No.
It's not happening.
Dude, I don't know how people be out here letting their kids get all roly-poly-oly. That's not a good look.
Yeah, it's sad. Like, you're not looking out for your child. Yeah, it's sad. But, all right, girl. So, we're now to the positions of delivery. So, like, I have some, like, squatting when giving birth. Like, what?
Next time.
Opinion. Next time. That's what you want to do.
That's what I'm shooting for, anyway.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I think that's great. So like, when it comes to like childbirth, the more represented way we're all taught is like, you know, lying down in a hospital bed. So when you're pushing your child out, so we all know how gravity works, right? You were mentioning it in the beginning, so like everything must come down. It might sound silly, but like, when we, you know, when we urinate or when we defecate, we squat.
Don't lay down.
We don't lay down.
Gosh.
Yeah, we don't lay down to do that. So why is it that a child that's coming out of the same place, we have to lay down to,
like... I don't know. I am a firm believer, though, that America is great at creating its own problems for profit.
Yeah.
America does not care if it makes its own people sick for profit. Yeah. And so I wouldn't doubt if at some point in medical history, they were just like, you know what? Let's make the delivery process that much longer. That way they have to pay more for their visit. Like, I wouldn't, exactly. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not saying that's a real thing, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, there are always positives to, like, the pushing out your baby standing up, mm-hmm. or to, like, laying down, mm-hmm. but, like, there's more positives for the upright positions, because, mm-hmm. like, you know, the child comes out easier, it's safer, mm-hmm. it's little to no back pain.
Dude.
Yeah, dude. So, and it's less risk because the child is not, like, compressing on the mother's aorta, so, like, the child gets better oxygen flowing to the mm-hmm. To the body.
I wonder I'm not sure if it really has anything to do with it, but I would love to know what percent of, you know, breech births, for example, could maybe mm-hmm. have been avoided if those women were, you know, delivering upright mm-hmm. versus being lateral.
I think
I don't
that
know
would have changed a lot.
I don't know if it'll change anything, but, you know, but we'll never know until we know.
Exactly. You know, like, other ways to deliver isn't even being taught mm-hmm. in schools. So, like, when, like, people go to school to, like, learn how to deliver babies, so, like, the OBGYNs and everything, they teach them that the lying down position or the half seated is easier because, you know, you get to, you know, check the baby's heartbeat. It's easier that way when mm-hmm. you're laying down. Like, it's basically more convenient for, like, the caregivers mm-hmm. to, like, deliver the babies while you're laying down, mm-hmm. but it's not convenient for the mother because mm-hmm. you're straining the baby, you're straining her back, like, everything is just messed up. Yeah. But
it's,
like,
not, it's conducive at all. I wonder, because so when I went into labor, I literally went into labor with my child midnight on her birthday. And mm-hmm. so, fun fact, only 20% of women, and I'm not sure if the stat has changed since 2014, but only uh-huh. 20% of women's water break. And I did not know that. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm part of the
20%.
You know?
Really?
Yes. And I had no idea it was that low, you know?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, lower than 50?
Dude. And I mean, I'll admit, I don't remember if that was, like, 20% of, like, American women or just, like, globally mm-hmm. women in general, whatever, but only 20% yeah. of women water, only like 20% of the women, their water breaks. And my water broke and it was like whoosh. I'm like, all right. Totally involuntary, you know.
Dang.
But there were some things that people didn't even tell, like, people were like, you're gonna shit on the table. I'm like, okay, hopefully not. It was like, your baby's gonna, like, rip you in half. You're gonna have to get stitches. I'm like, okay, again, hopefully
damn.
Not. You know.
All right. Why freak you out?
But what I wish someone did tell me, like, so when I, once my water broke, I went into labor, got to the hospital. I threw up a few times. And even after I delivered her, I threw up. I'm like, nobody told me about the vomiting part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea of that prior to, but. Girl, I was making jokes on the delivery table. Because I had to get an epidural. I stopped dilating at 8 centimeters, probably at like 3, 4, 5 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't end up having my daughter until like going on 1 p.m. That day. But yeah, the first guy, he tried to do an epidural, did not work. I'm just like, you young for nothing, get out of here. Dude, it was not even effective. And so, you know, an older guy came in and administered it. I would not have gotten an epidural if I didn't stop dilating at 8 freaking centimeters. And who knows, maybe I should have stood up. Maybe gravity would have helped them 2 centimeters.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. but yeah, I had to get an epidural, and like I ended up calling him my pusher man because that shit worked. It worked yeah. the second time. but you know, after, you know, I'm in labor, and epidural, let's be clear, it does not alleviate all pain. It alleviates contractions, but you're still going to feel the pressure of that human skull sitting in your vagina. That pressure is not going to go anywhere. There's no ibuprofen, no morphine, no fucking, no epidural, nothing. You're going to feel that.
Epidural times two.
I'm telling you, right? But like during my delivery, like my leg had like fell off the bed, and I'm just joking. I'm like, can somebody pick that up? You know, because I wasn't in too much pain at that point, so I'm just kind of like being myself. Yeah, and making jokes.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's just some of the things like I didn't know, like 20% of women's water breaks and vomiting. You can vomit during delivery. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's new to me.
Yeah, very new, mm-hmm. You know. But yeah, but I didn't need stitches, and yeah, I didn't shit on the table, and you know.
That's good. Yeah. And did you know that since epidurals are highly requested in America, that's what it also attributed to the sitting down or laying down half-seated positions? Because, you know, you can't give birth standing up while your legs are, you know, numb, like while your body's half numb from the epidural.
Exactly. So stand up how? Yep.
Right. What do you know about hypnobirthing?
Who?
Hypnobirthing.
Girl, I thought you said hippo. I'm like, so we're talking about hippopotamuses now.
We move topics now.
Which would have been so funny because I was literally randomly Googling hippopotamuses the other day, and I learned.
Are you serious?
Because I wanted to know why they're so aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
I was being random, but anyways. No, that hypnobirth?
Yeah.
You can be like hypnotized to believe you're pregnant, or you can be like, what?
Girl, I just found out about this, and I was like, that sounds cool. But like, hypnobirthing is like a birthing method. So it's basically like self-hypnosis and relaxation techniques to help a woman feel like physically, mentally, and spiritually prepared for like the awareness of like the fear and anxiety during childbirth.
Okay.
So like you like take classes or whatever, and like you go into like, you do yoga, you do music, you do visualizations, positive thinking, like basically like meditation, like yoga type things, mm-hmm. to like get your mindset into like the zone that you're going to be delivering.
I'm here but for like that sounds really dope.
Yeah, and they take that fear out of you basically, mm-hmm. so
yeah,
so that you'll be relaxed and ready.
I like,
yeah,
that.
So whenever I get pregnant, I really want to try that.
Hell yeah. I want that, a doula, and a water birth. Here we go.
Everything all at home.
I'm telling you, that sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah, so yeah, in like conclusion, I just wanted to end with like the hospital births. Mm-hmm. So like hospital births are still very much needed and should be used if there's like an emergency, like the point where like the mother or the baby need critical help. Mm-hmm. But like I feel like, you know, pregnancies, I feel like people should go through it naturally. At home, in their own surroundings, mm-hmm. and they should give birth like at home, in a place where they feel comfortable, or if it's not at home, like mm-hmm. at least a place where like you're not like scared on top of like giving birth, you know. So especially for Black people, we're already terrified of going to hospitals because we feel like we're being experimented on, right. or whatever. So yeah, so
I agree with you on that. I think that like healthcare reform is definitely needed, but also to the degree that people who are going into nursing and, you know, people who want to become a doctor need to be trained more holistically. I think that is an area. I want to say that is an area where you can specifically be trained as a physician or a nurse or whatever. But, you know, because I feel like, you know, to have a water birth or to want to like access a doula, I understand that's money out of their pocket, but I feel like healthcare professionals should be on the same wavelength and be like, hey, there are other options for you if you would be more mm-hmm. comfortable, you know, just like looking out for people's best interests. But again, profit and them dollar signs get in the way of
exactly.
Yeah, it just gets in the way of caring for your fellow human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like bringing a child into this world is beautiful, and it's a very miraculous journey. Oh,
I have a very vocal cat. He sounds like he's squawking.
Needs sometimes. Your attention.
Yeah, he's affectionate. Bash.
Yeah. So like, just wanted to add on. So like, from the moment you feel like, you know, you're ready to be a mother, or when you find out that you're going to be a mother, I just feel like everything should just be natural mm-hmm. and raw. And like, I just feel like women that will go through this or do experiences, I just feel like it'll be an easier birth mm-hmm. because you get to have full control of your pregnancy, and you get to, you know, eat whatever you want to eat for your baby. Mm-hmm. You want to be healthier, you want to do this, you want to have a water birth, you want to do a standing mm-hmm. up, like you have all that full control. But when you go to a hospital, as soon as you sign papers, they're in control of your life. They're giving you the medications, they're telling you, you know, you're laying down giving birth, you like yeah. they control everything from that point on. But I just feel like women should have more control of their bodies and their mm-hmm. pregnancies. That's kind of what I wanted to add.
Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely true. I'll never understand how any other human being could, you know, ever try to take power over a woman's body. Or I mean, yeah. you can have an opinion, but you can't tell me what I'm gonna do or not gonna do with my body. So I agree.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, this was really fun. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I didn't let my baby leave the room.
Good, awesome. I wanted to point that out too, but like, I was like, where would I throw that? Because right. like a lot of mothers, as soon as they have birth, like they're out of the door yeah. already with your baby. Right. Like, where are you going?
That so. Or like, oh gosh, I can't remember what friend it was, but one of my friends, they were just like, they didn't want their child in the room with them when they had their infant. And I'm like, dumb hoe, say what? Yeah, what? But friend, if you listening, I love you, but don't ho say what. And then God. Like for me personally, like so my child is, she's African American and she's part Native American, and so she looked like a little Eskimo baby fresh out. Aww. And so so people were just like, is that your child? I'm like, she never left the room, so I guess she's mine. But yeah, just I don't play that, because you see these stories, Lifetime movie stories about nurses who couldn't conceive or lost a baby, want to steal somebody. I ain't got time.
That terrifies me too, girl. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty fun. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, thanks guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check out my gram at Let's Be Honest. I do have some new content on there, as well as merch coming out soon as well. So
merch. Yes.
Yeah, don't forget, follow me, guys, subscribe, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Anchor, all of it. Okay. Tell your mom, tell your friends, tell your sisters, brother, everybody. Okay. Thank you guys. Much love. I'll speak to you next time.
Okay. Bye, honey.